Chapter 1.
You're young, and have all your teeth.
George, His Grace, the Duke of Morland, made this state of affairs sound as if Percival had committed a double-hanging felony.
If you swive this wife to death, you can always get another.
Lord Percival Wyndham's brothers reacted to the Duke's observation predictably. Tony shot Percy a look of commiseration, while Peter, more properly the Marquis of Pembroke, pushed back from the card table.
I find myself ready to retire, Peter announced.
He rose and bowed to the Duke.
Your Grace, pleasant dreams.
Peter's younger brothers merited a nod, one conveying a touch of sympathy. In this regard, at least, the heir to a dukedom could delegate dealing with an irascible old peer to the spares.
You two are sorry company for an old man. Fetch me a footman that I might be spared the tedium to be endured when you won't allow me so much as a finger of decent libation.
Tony and Percy each got a hand under one of His Grace's elbows and boosted the Duke to his feet. Tony pushed the chair away, and then, only then, His Grace shook off his son's hold.
Think of me as you're getting drunk yet again?
He glowered at each son in turn.
And I meant what I said, Percival. Your lady wife has dropped 4 bull calves in little more than 5 years of marriage. In my day, a gentleman didn't trouble his wife beyond the necessary, and certainly not when you could afford to take his rutting elsewhere. Her Grace would have agreed with me.
Percival didn't dignify that scold with a response, though Tony, brave man, murmured, "Good night, Papa," as they handed the Duke off to a stout, impassive footman. When the door was closed and a thick silence had taken root, Percival went back to the table and started organizing the cards.
"He's wrong, Perce."
Tony's path took him to the decanter.
"Her Grace would not agree. She'd say Esther's duty was to provide as many sons as you and the good Lord saw fit to get on her. Her Grace was a terror when it came to the succession."
In Percival's hands, the Queen of Diamonds turned up first.
"The old boy may have a point. Esther has done her duty to the succession."
And at what cost? She fell into bed exhausted each evening, though never once had Percival heard her complain. With decanter in hand, Tony took himself and a glass of brandy to the side of the game room, where darts were played. A square of weathered pine surrounded the scarred circular target, the pits and gashes growing fewer closer to the centre.
"I would better prosecute a game of darts were I in my cups," Tony muttered, taking aim. "You will not be the death of your wife, Perce. His Grace is still mourning, is all, and not going about it very well."
Percival kept his hands busy organizing the cards, all the pips going in the same direction, from highest to lowest, suit by suit.
"He's not only mourning, he's dying. Can a man mourn his own incipient passing?"
Tony shot him a look.
"You're sounding ducal again. Incipient passing? I say it's Peter we have to worry about most. His Grace has enough spleen left to live to be 100.
He and Her Grace had a few cordial years there toward the end, largely as a function of your success populating the nursery, if you ask me." When Percival had the deck stacked in perfect order, he cut and shuffled, then shuffled again. The snap and riffle of the cards soothed him, putting him in mind of years spent soldiering and shivering in Canada.
"How long has it been since Peter ventured outside?"
A dart went sailing toward the wall, only to land several inches from the target.
"Damn!
He sits on the terrace when the weather's fair. Once a man turns 40, he's entitled to a more sedentary schedule."
Sedentary?
In his youth, Peter had been a robust, blonde giant. Heir to a dukedom, he'd been the biggest prize on the marriage mart in every sense. When he'd departed on his grand tour, half the ladies in London had gone into a decline. And now? Peter's blonde hair was going silver, his complexion suggested he abused arsenic, when he never touched the stuff. Worst of all, Peter looked at his half-grown daughters like a man who'd reconciled himself to heartbreak. Percival reorganized the cards, this time starting with hearts.
Maybe it's Peter's incipient death his grace is mourning.
This is maudlin talk, Purse, and you've hardly touched a drop all night.
Tony fired a second dart toward the wall, only to have it bounce off the edge of the target.
Rotten bloody luck.
Rotten bloody aim. You need to focus, Antony.
And Percival might well need a mistress. The notion that his father could be right was loathsome.